Good afternoon, members. I'm delighted to invite Mukund Tubani and Sudha Tubani of the Indian Community and Cultural Association here in Cambridge to lead us in our prayers this afternoon. Thank you.
We do the prayers in our language, and then there's a meaning of that which we will speak in English.
Thank you both very much indeed. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in view of the climactic conditions, I would like to invite ladies to remove hats, gloves, and shoes. And gentlemen, if you would like to remove ties and jackets, those of you who have not already. Not the shoes, gentlemen, not the shoes. Right, we have apologies from councillors Ian Bates, Chris Bowden, David Connor, Adrian Dent, Kevin Reynolds, Susan van der Ven, Ed Cairns, Barbara Ashwood. Do I have any other apologies? Councillor Bullen. And Councillor Lay. Anybody else? Councillor Criswell?
Councillor Shooter, Chairman.
Councillor Shooter. Thank you, and I have no notification of any member being late. So we'll move on to agenda item number one, which is the approval of the minutes of the meetings of the Council held on the 10th of May and the 28th of June 2016. Council is asked to agree these as a correct record. Do you so agree, members? Thank you very much. I have a few announcements to make today. Firstly, I would like to welcome members of the public to this meeting of the Council. You're very welcome, and I hope you find this meeting of interest. The Council supports the principle of transparency and encourages filming, recording, and taking photographs at its meetings that are open to the public. Members are advised that this meeting may therefore be filmed, recorded, or photographed. This meeting is being live-streamed to the web and to the County Council's YouTube channel. I would like to highlight this to members of the public, that they may be filmed as part of this meeting and that this will appear on the web. Please, can I ask all members and members of the public to turn their mobile phones to silent or vibrate whilst the meeting is taking place. It is with enormous sadness that I report the death of Rosie Edwards, head of Cambridgeshire Environmental Education Service. Rosie was a passionate advocate of environmental education and outdoor learning, and during nearly 40 years of service in the County Council, she touched the lives of thousands and thousands of children, teachers, and colleagues. The Council's thoughts are with her family, friends, and colleagues at this very sad time. May I ask Council, please, to stand in memory of Rosie. Thank you. On behalf of the Council, I would like to congratulate Nikki Climo, the Council's former Director of Children's Social Care, on being awarded an OBE for her services to children in the Queen's Birthday Honours List. Nikki, together with colleagues, was instrumental in turning around the fortunes of Cambridgeshire's safeguarding arrangements from inadequate to good in less than 2 years. Council will be pleased to note that Cambridgeshire County Council, working with SPICE, has won a Municipal Journal Award for Community Engagement for their Time Credits Programme. Led by the Council's Strategic Marketing, Communications and Engagement Team, Social Enterprise SPICE, colleagues throughout Cambridgeshire County Council and partners, they beat a host of other councils to scoop the top prize for excellence in community engagement. This award is a real celebration of the volunteers taking part in the initiative who've given thousands of hours of their time throughout Cambridgeshire to make it a success. Although Cambridgeshire has always been an innovative council, members have been keen that it increases the pace around transforming the authority to meet the financial challenges that we are all too well aware of in this chamber. That is why I'm pleased to announce that the transformation programme has kicked off, including informal workshops with members on bringing forward ideas that could potentially save millions of pounds, protect frontline services, and deliver services in a way that benefit our communities. Staff are also playing a vital role as part of this transformation programme, and an internal ICANN campaign has been launched by the Chief Executive and Strategic Management to help with them, encourage ideas to come forward, and empower them to help improve the Council. I am delighted to report the Council's Adult Learning and Skills team have been graded as good after a recent Ofsted inspection. Very few organisations have maintained their good status through the changes to the inspection model and through a restructure of a service. On behalf of you, Council, I would like to thank Lindsay Hayward-Smith, Head of Adult Learning and Skills, and her team for what they have achieved. The theme of this year's Summer Reading Challenge is the Big Friendly Read, which is being launched on the 16th of July. Children are asked to read any 6 library books through the summer holidays and can collect a Roald Dahl character postcard each week. A certificate and gold medal will be awarded to all children who finish the challenge. Last year, 3,500 children took part in the challenge. This year, given the year-long global Roald Dahl 100 celebration of the world's favourite storyteller and considerable interest already shown by schools, a record number of participants are anticipated. Council will wish to note that Open Plus will soon be available for public use at St Ives Library. The Council is trialling this innovative self-service library system that allows access to library resources outside staffed hours. Open Plus will allow for the reinstatement of Sunday afternoon opening hours and additional hours on Thursday afternoon. If the system is successful at St Ives, it could be installed at other libraries to enhance current opening hours, offering a more flexible, efficient, community-driven service. I was honoured to welcome four royal guests to Cambridgeshire recently on behalf of Cambridgeshire County Council. On Thursday, the 23rd of June 2016, Her Royal Highness the Princess Royal visited St John Ambulance to open the Goodman Centre, the charity's new headquarters in Cherry Hinton. The centre, which is used for training by the Cambridge City, Cambridge Eastern and Cherry Hinton units, along with the City Cycle Response Unit, is named after the late Anne Goodman, who was instrumental in setting up St John Ambulance in Cherry Hinton. On Sunday, 3rd of July, His Royal Highness the Duke of Gloucester attended a service and parade in Ely Cathedral as Colonel-in-Chief of the Royal Anglian Regiment for the annual reunion of the Royal Anglian Regiment, which this year also marked the centenary of the Battle of the Somme. On Wednesday, the 13th of July, Her Majesty the Queen, accompanied by His Royal Highness the Duke of Edinburgh, officially opened the East Anglian Air Ambulance's new operational base, the Egerton Smith Building at Cambridge Airport, which is named after the charity's founder and president, Andrew Egerton Smith, MBE. And that concludes my announcements.
Chair, may I ask, please, whether it's necessary to suffer the presence of a stuffed duck in the council chamber?
Thank you, Councillor Sales, for your intervention. I think perhaps Mr. Carpen could reduce the height of Puffles, the magic dragon. That would be helpful. We move on, Council, to agenda item 3, which is declarations of interest. Under this item, members are asked to declare interests under the Code of Conduct in any item on the agenda for today's meeting if they are not registered on the Register of Interests. May I have any declarations, please? Good. We move on to agenda item 4, which is public question time. This allows members of the public to ask questions at the Council meeting, provided that they have given advance notice. The Council has received notice of one question, the contents of which have been circulated electronically to all members and published on the Council's website. Could I ask, please, Mr. Carpen to come forward and ask his question? Welcome back, Mr. Carpen.
Right, thank you very much. See, I'm all on camera and recording because we have had acoustic problems recently. This question that you have in front of you was actually first put to a public forum, the line of questioning, not by me, but by Puffles the Dragon Fairy here, to the Public Administration Select Committee, chaired by Bernard Jenkin, who several of you councillors will know. Mr. Jenkin is the second Member of Parliament to mention Puffles the Dragon Fairy in a parliamentary debate, first being Labour MP Kelvin Hopkins, and the third being one of the chair's good friends, Greg Mulholland. This is the same dragon that won 89 votes in the Coleridge ward at Cambridge City Council elections. Puffles is part of the democratic life of the city. Now, what do I mean by risk? In their report that Puffles was mentioned in, the Commons Public Accounts Select, sorry, Public Administration, beg your pardon, Select Committee said that all policies contain risks and that ministers must ensure that all policies have risk assessments done. These are policy risk assessments, not tripping over cables and things like that. So what do I mean by risks? Again, I'm not talking about things.
Okay, well, I think the question is on paper, so I think we'll move straight along. I'm not entirely certain who's answering this question, and who'd like to answer it? Councillor Count. Are you done, Mr. Carlton? Yes, thank you very much. Councillor Count.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Anthony, and Puffles. I think it's a fair question and challenge, what risks are there about the devolution deal that's been signed. And I think the first thing to note that what we've signed is a proposal. It's going through a process at the moment. It's not finalised. It is at this moment in time a work in progress. There are various stages of it. So the first stage was to have discussions with ourselves, with our partners, with the government about what a proposal might look like. And that came to council a few months ago. And that original proposal, one of the risks was it won't be accepted. And that indeed was the case. It wasn't accepted. And so we went off and worked with government and our partners and drew up an entirely new proposal, which was acceptable. So that was a risk that we dealt with at that time. The second part of the station is where we are now. So we've agreed in principle a proposal to put to the public to consult on, to see what they feel about it, to see exactly the great amount of detail and consultation and feedback on it, to see if it's something that we still want to progress with when it comes back to our meeting later on in the year, and indeed to demonstrate whether the governance is sufficient to operate this devolution deal in a better way than Whitehall makes those decisions at the moment, and that will come back to us. And so that's another risk, is nicely out the way. Can we do a better job than central government? And then the third stage will be, actually, if we do go ahead, to draw up detailed work plans on how to achieve everything. Now, I think it's at that stage that you will look at every single work stream and you will develop a risk profile for moving forward and analyse how you're going to mitigate the risks there. So a large proportion of the work is still in the future. But I'd just like to highlight some of the risks that have been identified so far and some of the things that have been done. So the first one I mentioned already is that the deal will not command support from all the organisations involved. Indeed, it didn't. We went off, got a better deal, and now it has.
Councillor Count, you're over your 2 minutes, but I'm going to indulge you. Okay. Because this is a matter of considerable public interest.
Okay then, so very quickly, the other ones were that the deal would not be supported by or understood by the public, which is why we've gone to consultation to explain it, that the deal will not have the support of government. We've negotiated this every step of the way. We believe that when we get to the final thing, there'll be a yes. That the deal will not be deliverable, that is a matter of fact, that we've got to get all those work streams ready, and that the proposed new government arrangements will not be sufficiently transparent and accountable, which I've already mentioned. But I think all of us, or most of us, realise that the biggest risk of all would be if we don't land this. Just what kind of a county can we then deliver to the people of Cambridgeshire and Peterborough without the kind of input that we're going to get in terms of infrastructure, housing, capital investment and skills? So thank you very much for indulging me, Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Carpen, you have a supplementary question?
I do.
Can you just ensure, please, that your microphone is on? Thank you.
Can you hear, ladies and gents?
Yeah.
Right. Thank you very much, Councillor Count. And actually, I pay tribute to the Councillor for being so explicit on the risks. I'm going to pick up on two. The first one, he said, on transparency. I've thrown some Freedom of Information requests at Treasury and at the Department for Communities and Local Government. The Treasury have got over 2,000 mentions of Andrew Lansley on their systems post the 2015 election, and the Department for Communities and Local Government have got none in the context of Devolution East. Transparency issues, big time. Second, with the consultation, because it's happening in the school holidays, there is a huge risk that young people will just be completely bypassed in this whole process. Also similar with the city deal and Devolution East, there are some similar themes. Hardly any public events, and I can't see anything that actually brings together communities from disparate parts of the county, such as, let's say, Wisbeach and Cambridge together, to see if we can solve these problems. I would love to see the council really addressing those issues, because you've shown you can do this with the Spice Times Camp, time banking thing. So please learn from that. Thank you.
Councillor Count.
Yes, thank you. I can't answer for government, and if 4,000 mentions aren't enough, I can't really answer on that. But in terms of transparency for the organisation, one of the things that we were keen on here when we actually passed the mandate, the last thing, was overview and scrutiny. And when we come back in October, we'll have that a lot more fleshed out so that we can see transparency going ahead. Everything's published online. Everything that we have come to a decision to will be, and there's regular releases, and the consultation is out there. And in terms of the consultation, the timing, not all, that was a problem that was recognised. There has been a fair amount of consultation going out there. It is agreed with all of our partners. There's a Mori poll, online poll. So we are trying to do as much as possible, but the timeline was predefined, so therefore it wasn't possible to adjust it as much as you would have liked. But I'm sure, because the consultation is being carried out by each and every one of us, forming one massive thing, I think that will be quite useful, the answers we get back. And in terms of working together, I think we've already experienced a greater bonding between certainly the county council and district councils from going through this process. Us being in the same room together sometimes identified other areas that we can work together. So I think it's a positive process that we've been seeing here.
Thank you, Councillor Cant. Mr. Carpen, thank you again for your question. Members, we move on now to agenda item 5, which is petitions. Councillor Giles, you indicated you wish to speak. Oh, right. Mr. Carpen, could you switch your mic? Thank you. Agenda item 5 is petitions and allows members of the public to present petitions in accordance with the agreed protocol. I am proposing to take one petition from the public. Details of the petition have been circulated electronically to all members and published on the Council's website. The petition relates to the proposal to widen Milton Road. It was received by the deadline to allow a spokesperson to speak and contains over 3,000 signatures, so the petition organiser or their nominee will be able to speak at this meeting. As set out in the Council's petitions scheme, the petition organiser has asked for his petition to be debated at this meeting. So could I now ask the petition organiser, Mr. Charles Nisbet, to speak to the petition? You have 5 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Please let me know if you can't hear me. It's quite a long distance from the microphone. This petition was drafted in the middle of winter when the first proposals became known for the destruction of Milton Road as we know it. It's acquired 3,356 signatures, half of which are online and half of which are in hard copy, obtained by a lot of hard work by your voters throughout the town. The meaning, or the wording rather, of the petition is: the Greater Cambridge City Deal are proposing to widen Milton Road, chopping down the beautiful cherry trees, removing the grass verges, and replacing them with acres of tarmac. As many as 83% of the trees on Milton Road are destined to be removed if these proposals go ahead. The local residents are horrified that their avenue will be turned into a treeless corridor, closing key routes into side streets and splitting the community in two. Recent research has encouraged towns and cities to plant trees and shrubs along roads, citing the environmental advantages not only for air quality, but also for the well-being of citizens by reducing stress. Grass verges, in addition to tree roots, help with drainage problems. Some cities in the UK have actually changed their road layouts to incorporate trees. Cambridge should be at the forefront of such developments. There are many alternatives to widening the road. Now, as you heard, that was addressed to the city deal. So why am I bringing it to you, the County Council? Well, the reason is that when you delegated to the city deal, you delegated authority for the exercise of their functions. You actually said to delegate exercise of their functions to the Executive Board to the extent necessary to pursue and achieve the objectives of Greater Cambridge City Deal. You didn't delegate responsibility. Indeed, I don't believe you can. So the ultimate responsibility for those functions, including highways, remains with you. The second reason is that when City Deal comes to an end, either in its natural course or if it hurries because they run out of money or because the changed attitude of the new Prime Minister suggests that we no longer give to those who have, but they move money elsewhere. If that happens, you will be left picking up, dealing with the outcome. If that includes the wreck of Milton Road, there will be a lot of very angry voters whose ire will be directed against you, of course, not against the non-existent city deal. And the third reason relates to funding. The latest version of the Do Something plans for Milton Road appear to show not that 83% of the trees will be removed, but that every tree will be removed. Some will be planted, though only on one side of the road. But it's completely unclear whether or not the Greater Cambridge City Deal's funding will allow it to pay for tree planting. Is that transport infrastructure? It might well be argued that it isn't. So, if they cut down all the trees and then say, but we're not allowed to replant them, you will be presented with a very short-term decision as to whether or not you are going to fund a lot of planting of new trees to replace the ones that could have been left there. So that's why I think it's your business. What do the residents want their county council to do? Well, we think you ought to exercise a measure of oversight of the city deal by requiring regular reports from them about issues that affect you. Secondly, and this is an odd one, we think you ought to remind your officers who it is that takes the decisions at Shire Hall. I would have thought that was an extraordinary and unnecessary remark, but one quite senior officer of the council was recently heard telling a local pressure group that they didn't have to bother about the fact that they weren't on local liaison forums and so forth, because ultimately the decisions would be taken by the officers. I don't think that's right, and I don't think you think that's right either. When you receive advice, I think you need to challenge deeply the officer's advice and insist on proper replies, supported by real evidence, not waffle and generalities which justify the officer's prejudices. Above all, we think you ought to delay any irreversible destruction of the existing trees and verges until all other methods of resolving the congestion problem have been properly tried and tested. The avenue of trees on Milton Road were recently described to me by a resident in another part of the city as one of the glories of Cambridge. They're an asset created by your far-sighted predecessors, and now they're in your custody. Please ensure that they are not wantonly destroyed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nisbet, for your petition. Right, members, the petition can now be discussed for a maximum of 15 minutes, if you desire. You will need to decide how to respond to the petition at this meeting. Councillor Scutt.
Thank you. Labour has always been for trees and verges, and I stand here for trees and verges now, thanking Charles Nesbitt for bringing the petition to the County Council, and Maureen Mace, Claire Hughes, and the many who assisted in ensuring that more than 3,000 signatures were received. I note Labour's support for trees and verges because I want the City Deal Board and the Assembly and us here to remember this history, affirming this country's past commitment for trees and verges, a commitment that must be present and future for the City Deal, Milton Road, and the wards and divisions surrounding. The Garden City movement led into the New City movement, and it wanted everyone to have the free gifts of nature, fresh air, sunlight, breathing room and playing room in all needed abundance. Renowned Labour and Fabian member H.G. Wells wanted for everyone all the beauty that is here and more also, and none of the distresses. Even one of our Fabians died in support of trees. George Bernard Shaw was trimming an apple or cherry blossom in his garden and fell, and consequently he died of pneumonia, which often follows the hip breaking that affected him. He ended his life in that way. The Attlee government introduced the New Town movement, complementing Garden Cities. The New Towns Act of 1946 and Town and Country Planning Act 1947 created a revolutionary machinery for positive town construction. 28 new towns were constructed over the next half century, with Labour ministers determined to bring the project to fruition. Hugh Dalton, Richard Crossman, Anthony Greenwood. Trees at roadside, along verges, and pedestrian and cycle segregation are major new town features, together with well-treed extensive parks and green wedges lined by trees and verges coming into the centre of town. We have an assurance that trees, verges and public realm will be included in every workshop for Milton Road local liaison forum, and this is the message coming from us here at the County Council to the City Deal Board and Assembly. Trees matter. Verges matter. Trees count. Verges count. They count for Cambridge. They count for Milton Road. We want, and I will be asking a commitment from the City Deal Assembly and Board that if in the end construction requires removal of any single one of the trees in Milton Road, then the City Deal monies return to Milton Road, mature trees lining Milton Road's verges, making Milton Road the impressive vista it should be, a lead into Cambridge of which us, all of us, can be proud. And I commend the petition to the county, and I ask that the county send it to the City Deal Board and Assembly as coming from the county because of our having delegated the matter to the City Deal Board. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Hunt.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'd have to declare an interest in this matter as I was actually born in Milton Road, and therefore it's always been a very special entrance to Cambridge for me. I think Cambridge is special. Cambridge is unique, and it isn't Harlow or Milton Keynes, and I think the city centre is approached by roads and vistas, not by transport corridors. And I think that we should be aware, and in this case I'm urging balance and reasonable thought, because Cambridge is not just a place to do business. It's a place where people have homes and they want to have communities that thrive, and they are not just houses along a route into a trading centre. I think there is potential huge damage being done to our environment if these trees are needlessly attacked. And I recognise the need to move people around for the benefit of business and private lives. I do, however, have experience with this mini Holland experience in the London borough of Waltham Forest. And it's a nightmare. It's an Orwellian nightmare. Only the main roads work. All the back roads are blocked up. So when there's a traffic accident, the emergency services can't get there. They can't get the people into hospital. Please be very cautious about this mini Holland. Add to it the PCCPs, which really sound lovely, and workplace parking levies, and you end up with a place that people are not going to say, let's go to Cambridge. They're going to say, let's avoid Cambridge. It's a nightmare. So I'm actually urging that a really considered view is taken by the City Deal, and they do recognise that support for this vista and these trees comes not just from one side of this chamber, but across the chamber. And it comes from me.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Councillor Onosanya.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say thank you for bringing the petition, but also just to note that we had delegated the powers for making the decision to the City Board at City Deal. That I just wanted to make that comment because I know there were questions raised in the petition about why we as the county are not doing something, and also to say that there have been no final decisions made as yet, and it is still going through consultation. So please do keep your feedback coming to us, and we will put forward what you have said, but we have to go to the City Deal Board. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Mrs. Rowe, how much time do we have left?
About 8 minutes.
Very good. Councillor Bullen.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Nisbet, and the residents of the vicinity for bringing this to this chamber. I think we all remember that in a meeting not that long ago, we voted on whether we give this authority to the City Deal Board. My party voted unanimous against doing so. And as much as I hate to say I told you so, I think this is the first instance where that decision is going to come back and bite us. And I do feel for you in the residents, because this chamber cannot do anything. We've given away that authority. And if we also vote through the devolution deal, we're going to give even more authority of our highways to that assembly. So I think we as a chamber need to really seriously think about what we've done, learn from this, and consider whether we wish to take those powers back again from the City Deal Board. And I'm not sure that we can even do it. But I agree. I think it is an Orwellian scheme. It's outdated. It's been proven not to work elsewhere. And there are other schemes for easing congestion. And I give Liverpool as a prime example, where actually they've taken bus lines away and taken traffic lights away, and it's actually eased congestion. So I firmly believe that the City Deal Board do need to look again at this idea and have a look at all the other ideas before they decide to put it back to public consultation. I personally think it was a bad decision we made in the first place, and that this scheme is bad for the city and for the residents.
Thank you for that. Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chairman. I welcome the petition. It's the view of the local people about their area, and they clearly care about it passionately. I would welcome some clarity about the legal situation, about the issue that has been raised by the petitioner on the delegation. Ultimately, I believe this authority retains overall responsibility for highways. So I think perhaps away from this meeting, I would welcome some clarification on that. I've got great sympathy with the plight of these trees and the residents who care about them. You know, it's not easy if you're the one asked to cut it down with the chainsaw and it's in your area. It's unbelievably difficult, and trees are really important. These particular trees have been under threat many times over the years, and I should think the residents are fairly fed up of having to mount this challenge over and over again. Officers of this council will be aware of my concern about overall loss of trees across the whole county. It's something which I am trying to address, and I do see this as the potential thin end of a wedge, which might ultimately take into its ultimate end. You know, we could start looking at what to do with Jesus Green and Parker's Peace and Midsummer Common. These are special and important features of our landscape. However, there is a governance structure in place, as other people have said, and the City Deal, whether you agree with the plans or not, have carefully put out some very considered plans, and the place to talk about those is during this consultation. They are only plans, and I, for one, have heard that 3,300 odd residents are deeply unhappy about one element of those plans, and I think the City Deal needs to take very careful note about that, because it is their area. But we shouldn't undermine the governance of the City Deal and our partners who share responsibility in the City Deal, and therefore I would urge the City Deal to look at this petition very, very carefully and see whether there are more creative solutions and ways around it. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Henson.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for letting me speak. I'm Norman Cross, miles away from Milton Road, and I've had four phone calls to me, because I'm not an internet user, and God knows how many for that is, for that one of those. And I look at it from this point of view. If you've got 3,300 residents in this paperwork, they're 3,300 voters. And we keep doing useless things and wasting money, in my opinion, in various places. And when you drive through these avenue of trees, they are part of our history. And also remember that the 3,300 voters will be the ones you won't get next year if you go against them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Henson. And Councillor Manning.
Thank you, Chair. To say I welcome the words from Councillor Scott. Maybe don't so much welcome the history lesson. I didn't quite follow all of it. But I think history is quite important here, and Councillor Bullen mentioned the history of our delegations earlier, where his party and my party voted against the removal of powers from Cambridge Joint Area Committee, which would, of course, have put us in a decision with the City Council, put us in a position of being able to stop this scheme. Having said all that, I do welcome her words, and I welcome the implication that her fellow Labour Party member, Councillor Lewis Herbert, will be working hard as a voting decision maker on the City Deal Executive Board to make sure this doesn't go through. That said, you'll have a white paper in front of you with what I would like to propose as a response to this petition. Do you want me to read it out, Chair? Or?
Yes, and if you could make it clear, perhaps, that this is a statement rather than a motion.
Hang
on a second. Councillor Cantor, are you raising a point of order?
Yes, I am. Point of order on the handling of petitions. It's very clear that the petition should have called for an action in order to be heard. It's not up to this council to supply one. To supply one 13 minutes into a 15-minute debate is not appropriate, because we have to debate something that we've got about 2 minutes left on. It's entirely inappropriate.
Having taken legal advice on this matter, the reality is that anything put forward by any member simply will be a straight yes or no vote. So if you don't support what Councillor Manning is going to propose, then vote against it. There were also suggestions, I think, from Councillor Scutt and indeed from Councillor Bailey of ways that Council might move forward, which we will come to. Councillor Manning.
So just to read out the wording. This Council wishes to express its opposition to any plan that would result in the removal of the majority of trees from Milton Road. Further, Council believes the measures contained in the City Deal do not represent efficient or desirable ways of cutting congestion, and asks that more options be considered in the public consultation.
Thank you. We have no other speakers, so we have a series of... Councillor Cantor.
Yeah, and very, very simple response. It's not possible for us to digest that simple motion. For example, it talks about the majority of trees, so we don't know what schemes would or would not happen if the majority of trees were there, etc., etc. It's simply not possible to come to a rational decision. I therefore will be voting against.
Okay. Councillor Leake?
I indicated that I wish to speak, Chairman. Is it that you ran out of time, or that...
Very sorry, Councillor Leake. You did, and I did not write your name down. I do apologise. If you can keep it brief, then I shall, as form of apology, allow you to rise.
That's very kind, Chairman. I should just like to make some very quick points. As Councillor Bailey mentioned, it's not the first time it's come to this chamber. I remember with colleagues opposing a similar move when I was councillor of West Chesterton, and I'm glad that we were successful then. And all of the Liberal Democrats opposed the proposal for the changes on Milton Road at the City Deal Assembly. It is, as Mr. Nesbitt suggested, I think a case of spending money rather than spending money wisely. And in this case, it really is the wrong way round, because so much that the City Deal is and should be doing is about reducing traffic and therefore reducing the need for schemes such as the one on Milton Road. And I think it's inappropriate that this is coming before the effects of those changes are introduced. And thank you for your forbearance, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Leake. Councillors Kavanagh and Walsh. Sorry, I forgot your name for a moment, Ashley. You didn't indicate to speak previously. We have reached the time limit. Oh, okay, right. Councillor Kavanagh, you can be as inspired as you like, but you're not standing to speak on that basis.
Sorry, Noel.
Councillor Walsh is making a point of order, which I shall be very interested to hear which part of the Constitution it relates to.
Well, I'm no constitutional lawyer, Mr. Chair. Is there any power you have, Mr. Chair, to extend the debate? Because this is not this motion does not actually relate just to the trees. It relates to the measures contained in the City Deal, all of them. We can't debate that in 30 seconds.
No,
holds the process of contempt.
So the constitutional position is that we accept the petition. You are entitled to debate the petition for 15 minutes. Council then will decide what action to take, and it has been left fairly open. I read from the notes, it may decide to take the action the petitioner requests, not to take the action requested, to commission further investigation for example, by the relevant committee. So on that basis, it is fairly fluid. But what is very clear is that there should be no debate of any of the proposals. So it's a clear vote, yes or no. Councillor Cant.
I'm sorry, Chairman, I must challenge the advice that you've received in accepting the petition. Petition guidelines, types of petitions, format of petitions. The petition submitted to the Council must include the following: a clear statement of your concerns and what you want the council to do. It did not include the second. On a subsequent page, it states clearly that petitions will not be accepted unless they're in the correct format. It's missing. Now, I was perfectly content for us all to have this debate because I think it's an important subject. But to be dragged into a 2-minute discussion on actually a motion put forward, which we are answering on the basis of an ordinary debate where the time is unlimited, compressed into 2 minutes, is wholly unreasonable. The petitioners actually should not have been accepted under those rules.
Thank you, Councillor Count. I did seem to recall that Mr. Nisbet did make a series of proposals about how we might proceed.
We have a written petition in front of us. That is the petition we've heard. Speaking to the petition is not the petition.
Well, I think, Councillor Count, on that note, I shall take further legal advice. Right. Councillor Count, I think the first point I would make is that this would have been a more useful point to raise before the meeting began, or indeed at the beginning of the debate. But anyway, given that it wasn't, the way I intend to treat this is as follows. Councillor Manning has put forward a statement that he wishes the council to vote on. Councillor Bailey has put forward a proposal, I understand, in that you wanted to refer this for further investigation. Right. And Councillor Scutt put forward initially the fact that you wanted to put the City Deal board to take our views into account.
Was that we refer the petition to the City Deal Board with our imprimatur that we want them to take it into account. Yes.
In which case, we will now take votes, and we will take three, and we will take them in chronological order. We will start with Councillor Scutt's proposal, we will then move on to yours, Councillor Bailey, and then we will move to Councillor Manning's. And it's up to... Do you wish to drop yours on the... Okay. We will then have two votes. The first will be on Councillor Scutt's proposal. Members, please pay attention because I don't want to have to go through this again, frankly. We will take a vote, firstly, on Councillor Scutt's proposal, or suggestion rather, that this is referred to the City Deal Executive with the views as expressed in the chamber, and the second vote will be on the statement. It is not a motion but a statement as submitted by Councillor Manning, and it is up to you to vote yes or no in support of either of those two positions. Is everybody clear?
Yes.
Mrs. Rowe, please.
Would members please press the button marked present? Members in favour of Councillor Scutt's proposal, please press the button marked yes. Members against Councillor Scutt's proposal, please press the button marked no. Members wishing to abstain, please press the button marked abstain. Chairman, I'm now closing the vote. The result of the vote is 54 votes in favour, 2 against, no abstentions. The proposal is therefore carried.
Thank you, Mrs. Rowe. Councillor Manning, do you wish still Council to vote on your statement, or are you happy for what we have just agreed
yes,
to go for?
Yes, I absolutely would like a vote on my statement.
Okay. Thank you. Mrs. Rowe, if you'd be so kind.
Would members please press the button marked present? Members in favour of Councillor Manning's statement, please press the button marked yes. Members against, please press the button marked no. Members wishing to abstain, please press the button marked abstain. Councillor Hewlett.
Have you...
Is it registering? Okay.
Is this an avoidable user error?
I'm now closing the vote. Chairman, the result of the vote is 22 votes in favour, 33 against and 1 abstention. The proposal is therefore lost.
Thank you, Mrs. Rowe. We now move to the next item on today's agenda, which is Treasury Management Quarter 4 and Outturn Report. We have one item for determination. This was discussed by General Purposes on 31st of May. Can I ask the Chairman of the General Purposes Committee, Councillor Count, to move the recommendation as set out on the Council agenda?
Thank you. I so move, Chairman.
Thank you. Do you have a seconder?
So second, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Hickford.
I reserve any rights to speak, please.
You reserve your right. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. And I must say that I approve of the link process, which has made the papers much lighter than normal. Those that were at GPC would have seen this already. We're now recommending it to Council for approval. Main highlights for the quarter were investments returned received on cash balances. They were favourable to the benchmarks. Return of 0.65% was achieved compared to the three-month LIBID benchmark of 0.46. I want to highlight the overall underspend of 12.666 million for debt charges this year. This was primarily and largely due to the 9.8 million which was directly attributable to a change in minimum revenue provision, which was a policy approved and implemented during the year. Careful management of the council's finances meant the cost of long-term loans have also been avoided, generating a net 2.8 million. The significant UK headlines of the financial outlook in the paper were generated from March 2016. And I think that most of us would reflect that the world that we live in today is very different after what was actually only a very few short months. Most notably, there was mention of the prospect of a rate hike being moved off from late 2016 into early 2017. And of course, we've heard a lot of conflicting information since then. And also that the Chancellor had penciled in even more fiscal austerity in 2019-20. Well, we've seen a different Chancellor since then and possibly sending out a different message. So although the papers are for noting and approving, I do hope that we reflect that they were written and correct at the time of the information in front then. I have nothing further to add, but I'm quite willing to take any questions of detail. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Count. Do I have any speakers? Councillor Mason, please remain seated, but do pop on your microphone. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I normally, when it comes to any debate upon this quarterly report, express severe doubts about the level of council borrowing. I am delighted to say, looking at this report, that the overall levels have come down considerably, and I would like to pay tribute to that. At 4.2 in the report, it says the likely reasons are due to combination of slippage in the capital programme. There is, as it were, a sort of cautionary note here, because we have a number of capital programmes which are slipping at the moment, and I did notice that we authorised additional borrowing in respect of the Littleport school situation, and of course we have the situation at North Stow where the council's cash flow has been jeopardised by basically the development being delivered late. Nevertheless, this is a good report and it is a trend in the right direction, and I hope we will continue to get the levels of borrowing down. I think we should not, somewhere in the report, I saw reference to the current interest rate environment. I think we should not fall into the trap of saying that money is cheap at the moment. I think we must continue with this trend in trying to get the council's debt level lower. And for that reason, instead of abstaining, I will certainly support this, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. I have no other speakers. Councillor Hickford, your moment has come.
Councillor Mason, happy with a financial report and the level of borrowing? I have nothing to add, Chairman.
Members, there's been no... Councillor Count, did you want to sum up?
Thank you very much, Chairman. Yes, thank you very much for that ringing endorsement. In fact, it's a prediction of mine that this will normally be quite a dry subject if it weren't for your interventions and help in understanding this. But I do think you've picked up a few kernels of truth there. I can reflect that our borrowing, authorised borrowing, was £660.3 million. But our capital financing requirement was only, I use the word wrongly, scrub only, our capital financing requirement at March 31st was £554 million, so a gap of £106 million. And of that, £195.9 million was internal borrowing, so we didn't go to outside markets on that. I too very much share concerns with Councillor Mason about the slippage. Slippage kind of comes across as a good thing. When you read the report at the end of the year, you had some slippage, so you save some money on borrowing the money. The truth of the matter is, when projects slip, they often cost more in the long run because the prices have gone up to deliver them. So it's a major area of concern. This has been raised at SMT. I'm very pleased to say that Chris Mallion, our financial officer, has constructed a group specifically to look at the delivery of capital finance projects, and it's very much more at the forefront. However, slippage occurs. It is inevitable. At Liverpool Port, I'm working from memory here, but I believe that was flooding on an adjacent site. But that kind of thing, whether it's Liverpool or not, does happen. So it is good to see that we are taking a bit of a firmer hold on that. So that's all I've got left to say. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Count. Members, nobody's spoken against this, so can we accept this by acclamation? Thank you. And now we move on to agenda item number 7, which is motions under Council Procedure Rule 10. One motion has been submitted. The motion has been submitted by Councillor Netzinger. Can I ask Councillor Netzinger to move and speak to her motion as set out on page 2 of the Council agenda?
Thank you, Chairman. Over the past few weeks, since the result of the referendum on the membership of the European Union, a huge number of things have changed in British politics. I realise that there will be differing views in this chamber, as there were in Cambridgeshire and in the rest of the country, about the result of that referendum. This motion is not a rerun of the arguments which were made in the referendum, and nor is it a challenge to the outcome. I hope there will not be any disagreement in this chamber about the first part of this motion. I hope that members from all parties in this chamber will want to give their support to all residents of Cambridgeshire and make it very clear that everyone who is living here now is welcome. The people who come to work in this country make a massive contribution in a huge number of different fields. From the nurses and care staff who make sure there are enough qualified staff on all the shifts at Addenbrookes, to the academics and IT specialists who make the Cambridgeshire economy one of the fastest growing knowledge-based economies in the world, to the Polish cleaner who cleans my daughter's school, or the agricultural workers who get the produce from our farms to our supermarkets. They all have an important role to play, and I hope we will all want to make sure that they feel valued and welcomed. In the debate on this issue at Cambridge City Council last Thursday, there were a number of disturbing personal reports about how school children, women on buses, and many others have not felt welcomed in recent weeks. I hope that we can send out a clear message from this chamber that the Brexit vote does not mean that it is acceptable to make those who look or sound different feel less welcome in this country. The lady with brown skin and a headscarf on the bus in Chesterton, who was the recipient of abuse, is as British as I am. This is her home, she has known no other, and we need to ensure that this country remains as welcoming of difference in whatever form as it has ever been. The second part of this motion refers to the impact of the negotiations, which are just beginning, on the Cambridgeshire economy. We have discussed the value and importance of that Cambridgeshire economy to the UK economy many times in this chamber. We spend many hours discussing how to ensure that the incredibly productive knowledge economy, which we have to accept is based a great deal on the University of Cambridge, can continue to grow and prosper. And we hope to bring prosperity to an area well beyond Cambridge City. There is no question that the process that we are starting of negotiating a new relationship with the European Union will have a major impact on our local economy. The ability to trade freely with the EU will be critical, but other aspects such as the free movement of people and access to European research funding, will also have a major impact. Sadiq Khan, as Mayor of London, is already actively involved in lobbying ministers to ensure that London's economy is considered in the negotiations about our relationship with the European Union. It is crucial that Cambridgeshire is also represented in those negotiations and that our economy is considered when we are negotiating our new relationship. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Councillor Netzinger. Do you have a seconder?
Yes, I'm a seconder.
Thank you, Councillor Jenkins. I understand I have an amendment. Councillor Bullen?
I move the amendment.
Did you wish to speak to it?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do wish to speak to it.
Perhaps I'll ask if you have a seconder next.
Councillor Kent.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Happy to second the amendment and reserve my right to speak.
Right. In fact, Councillor Clapp caught my eye, but I will... if you cede your position, it'll be to Councillor Count. Okay, thank you very much. Councillor Bullen.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm very surprised that this motion has been brought in the first place. I think it's a complete waste of time, and that's why I've changed it. But I'd like to start with a big thank you to all who did vote to leave the EU in the recent referendum. All right, so what wonderful people the British are to have resisted all of the threats, the denigration of their country by their own rulers, big business, big bureaucracy, and intervention by arrogant foreign leaders. Despite all the intimidation, we still voted to get our country back. We have successfully started to change the future of our great country to one of democracy and self-determination, but we must now ensure that we are not betrayed again by our own leaders. Whilst I'm not a great supporter of the current Conservative government, Mrs. May has promised the nation that she will negotiate our exit from the undemocratic clutches of the EU. And in my opinion, we must give her a chance to do so. It is not, in this instance, the job of this council to interfere nor to lobby on how she conducts those negotiations. However, I do commend Councillor Netzinger for her expression of support for all residents of the county, and I am happy to support that particular part of her motion. Had we listened to the experts, we wouldn't be in the position we are now, and it is time to accept the will of the majority and to work together for the benefit of our great country. We are not experiencing Armageddon, the collapse of our economy, or the pullout of major companies. Indeed, within the last week, Boeing, Siemens and Airbus have all announced that they are going to increase investment in the UK. And Tata is no longer proposing to sell its UK-based steel industry. There is a queue of nations waiting to negotiate free trade deals with the UK, including the USA, Canada, India, New Zealand, South Korea and South Africa. And Australia and New Zealand are actually having a race to see which one of them can negotiate the deal first.
Councillor Bullen, I'm sorry, I need to take a point of order. Councillor Whitehead.
Thank you, Chair.
Can you pop your microphone on,
yes,
please?
I was unaware that this chamber encouraged party political broadcasts on the part of any party, and I really feel that...
Councillor Whitehead, that is not a point of order.
...in this context.
Not only is it not a point of order, but you have been in this chamber long enough to know that it's perfectly true that practically everybody takes the opportunity to make a political broadcast whenever it arises. Could you continue, please, Councillor Bullen?
Thank you, Chairman. And finally, as for those who did predict gloom and doom and gloom if we voted Brexit, thankfully, Cameron has fallen on his sword. Osborne has crawled into an ex-chancellor's hole where emergency budgets are not required. And Mark Chaney has capitulated and not lowered interest rates, despite the fact that he said he would definitely have to do so. Indeed, the pound is now approaching 120 against the euro, 130 against the dollar, and it is predicted that there is a definite possibility that there may well be a run on the pound in the not too distant future. And in addition, the FTSE is at almost 6,700. which is higher than it has been for many years. I do not believe that we need to interfere in the negotiations and give
point of order, Chair.
Any more...
Councillor Bullen, I need to take a point of order. Is this a point of order, Councillor Schumann?
Chair, thank you. Point of order, the FTSE is just above 6,700. Thank you.
Well, I put that in the category of Councillor Bullen's definite possibilities. Councillor Bullen.
Apologies, and I took my figures first thing this morning when the markets opened. Clearly, they've risen even higher. I believe that this government, for all its faults, is more than capable of negotiating on the behalf of the residents of this country with any future trade deal, and that we do not need, at this point, to interfere in that decision-making or those negotiations. Therefore, I commend the amendment to the Chamber.
Thank you very much, Councillor Bullen. Right, we are debating. Councillor Count, you reserved your right to speak, I think, as seconder, didn't you? Yeah, okay. We are debating now the amendment. So, Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was very pleased to see the full motion that Councillor Annette Singer put forward, and I'm sorry to see that UKIP and Councillor Bullen have taken the guts out of the motion. As a county council, I believe that jobs and housing and liaising with businesses and institutions is exactly what we ought to be doing on behalf of the people that we represent. Now, much has been written and much has been said in the last few weeks about tolerance and multiculturalism and about the local economy and its citizens. And it's interesting that we have a decline in engagement in the country, or we have had, but the EU referendum and its grisly aftermath has sent shockwaves through society, and I found people talking about politics and the aftermath of the referendum everywhere I've gone, cafes, pubs, at the salon, at work, at the bus stops. And I'm pleased to say, I don't normally commend Conservative MPs, but I would pay tribute to our MP, Heidi Allen, for recognising that and for calling two public meetings for people to share their concerns about life in the aftermath of the referendum. So I took a trip to the first of those two meetings in Camborne one Saturday afternoon, and just to let you know, I do sometimes go to Camborne, and Madam Vice Chair knows that I was there. It was a sell-out show. I understand 500 people turned up, although there wasn't room for them all to be there. And videos which Mr. Carpen kindly produced have had 10 views an hour. I think that shows not just the strength of concern about the various issues amongst the people who've tried to attend and who did attend, but amongst those who were unable to do so. There were many, many concerns, but many of them relate to the things that are mentioned in the amendment about jobs and housing and trade. Just in the city of Cambridge, we've got 9,000 EU nationals, and by that I don't include those of us in the EU, but from other EU national states. 12% of Addenbrooke's hospital has staff from other EU nations, and 27% of Cambridge University postdocs, and we also have Anglia as well. Other big contributors to the local economy, not just in Cambridge but throughout the county, are our language schools and tourism in Cambridge, Huntingdon, Ely and rural villages too. And then there's the impact on science and research. All of these require movement in order to flourish, and confidence and certainty. Well, I believe that trade means jobs, and jobs also means homes. Very unsettling for people who are looking at getting mortgages or dependent on jobs and the future of those jobs at the moment. It's also affecting family life. There's many people who marry across different UK states. They want to know that their partners have got permanent rights to remain, and that their children may be able to visit home countries as well. We are surrounded by a vast sea of uncertainty at the moment. And again, I commend our MP for paying attention to those issues and for taking the messages of local people to government. And I would like to give our Chief Executive the freedom to do that as well. I believe it is the Council's role to work with government and local employers on issues that affect so deeply so many of our citizens. So I beg to support the amendment. Sorry, not to support the amendment, to support Councillor Nessinger's original motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Jenkins.
Thank you, Chair.
And I'm just talking to the amendment, which is the proposal to exclude paragraph B, because this is the guts of the impact of the changes we'll have on our accounting. And going forward, those who are involved in the negotiations have got to be thinking about how they're going to come up with an end solution, which is good for the country and, in our interest, good for Cambridgeshire. We're a peculiar economy in that we do have the university, a very knowledge-based economy. We have the north of the county, which is agricultural. We have a large healthcare sector, and we do have a bit of an exporting sector with people making stuff and shipping it around the world. And we've got to look after all of that on both sides. And that's why we need to leave this paragraph B in. On the one side, there is the movement of people. 26% of the postgraduates at the university come from the European Union. There's a similar percentage come from places like China and India. These people bring knowledge, they fuel the entrepreneurial sector and give rise to the new companies which are going to give growth in the future. We must not make it difficult for those people to get in. 20% of care workers are from outside the country. If we didn't have those care workers, our older people, some of whom are our relations, would not be well looked after. Try and square that circle. 10% of registered doctors in the NHS are from the EU. Now, when I talk to people I talk to at Addenbrookes, they say, it won't be a problem for us, we'll get the people, but we'll have to jump through hoops to make it happen. Because instead of just finding people, advertising, offering a job, you have to get work permits, you have to jump through the hoops of paperwork. That's obstacles which we shouldn't put in place of our economy. And then the one thing that's overlooked in all this debate, when we talk about the free market, people immediately talk about tariffs as though a duty barrier is going to go up. That's unlikely to happen. What is going to happen is that paperwork will increase. And if you go up the road here to Bar Hill, there's a company called Domino, which is one of the largest manufacturers of inkjet printers in the world. And they will ship small quantities and large quantities into Europe and elsewhere. Every one of those shipments in the future, if we do not have access to the free market, will have to have customs documentation. It puts up the barriers for doing business. Doesn't make the rest of the world any more attractive. It just makes it more difficult doing business in Europe. And we mustn't make it difficult to do business in Europe because our exporters depend on us to make it easy. So please do not support this amendment. Leave the motion as originally posted.
Thank you. Councillor Hunt.
Thank you, Chair. I'm a very simple person and I've divided this amendment, which I will be supporting the amendment, into two halves. I was going to sort of put slightly more colourful language, but I think point A is stating the obvious, isn't it? It's, you know, what's described in A is the view of any fair-minded Christian citizen. Of course, anybody abhors any criticism of immigrants, but it's just a fair-minded attitude which I hope we all share. B, of course, is just political manoeuvring, upset by and by a group of people who are upset because they find it difficult to accept the view of the people. And the people quite clearly said, we vote to leave. And the group over there can't accept that reality. And this is just, B, is just political manoeuvring.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Councillor Chapman.
I'm very disappointed that the time of this council is being spent on this motion. I find B unacceptable, as Councillor Hunt has just said. We've had a vote, And you might not like the result, but you have to wait and see how it turns out, and speculation as to whether or not this is going to be good or bad for the UK isn't proven, and it's that sort of speculation which turned people against the Remain campaign during the election, and yet it continues here. And I don't think the council should be asked to endorse Part B. I want to speak on Part A, but I can do that later.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Chapman. Councillor Clapp.
Thank you. I, as you know, live in Wisbeach. My son is British. My daughter-in-law is Latvian. Now, she has said there's no change at all in her community since we voted to leave. So, you know, don't come scaremongering. 71% of people in Finland decided they wanted to leave. Part of it will be unemployment, and part of it will be that immigrants are being paid £4 an hour in some places. So, you know, at the end of the day, we want fairness for all. We want migrants to be paid £7.20 an hour, not £4 an hour in certain businesses. And we also want the people who are working on the land to be paid a fair wage, which they're not getting at the moment. So, I mean, you know, I'll be supporting Part A of this motion, but I will not be supporting Part B. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman, it's quite clear the mood of this room is very much against B. There's sufficient votes here. I ask that the vote be put on this amendment.
Well now, Councillor
Cash. Happy to second that proposal.
Thank you, Councillor Bullen. I am going to allow the debate to continue for the reason that we have not heard from at least two of the one of the political groups, and I think that until we do, it has not quite reached its fullest extent of debate, Councillor Count. So, that being said, Councillor Hipkin, you are next, followed by Councillor Topping, and then Councillor Whitehead, Councillor Onasanya, Councillor Walsh. And then Councillor Count, you have the opportunity to sum up, as does, and then Councillor Netzinger will finish. So I am inclined to draw the line at some point, but not quite yet. Councillor Hipkin.
To assist you in that endeavour, I forego my right to speak.
Thank you, Councillor Hipkin. Councillor Topping, do you also? Thank you. Right, Councillor Whitehead.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to raise an issue which is not necessarily talking about businesses, but is in a way, because I want to talk about people, and it relates therefore to both halves of this agenda. Before I retired from the university, I was and still am a fellow of Wolfson College, and I was a senior tutor, which means I was admissions tutor. And that college is the most cosmopolitan one in Cambridge. We have pupils from 47 different countries, many of which were from the European Union through the Erasmus programme, which is about student exchange, where students come to study here and British students go and study abroad. And therefore, in that sense, it is a kind of trade. It is a trade in people, it is a trade in ideas, it's a trade in knowledge. But for me, what was most important about that, and that is why I think we really want to make sure that schemes like this continue, is that it is with young people getting to know one another, living together, working together, being in the same kind of communities together, that you create tolerance and understanding of different cultures and different nationalities and different kinds of ideas. And those seem to me to be absolutely crucial, because it's that kind of tolerance and that kind of understanding that largely makes redundant extreme right-wing parties that peddle prejudice and tolerance and intolerance throughout the globe. And therefore, I would hope that we would urge the government not only to look at the trade in goods and finance or whatever, but also this kind of, if you like, trade in people, in exchange, in ideas coming from Europe and our ideas going out to Europe, in a state of tolerance and cooperation. Because I think those things are as critically important as the trade in goods and services, because it is if we can get young people to understand about different cultures, about working together, then we stand a much better chance of reducing the prejudice and intolerance and many of the acts of violence that we have seen of late. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Onasanya.
I will speak when it goes to the main debate. So
thank you very much. Councillor Walsh. Right, in which case I think we will move to a first vote, which is a procedural item that the matter now be put. Mrs. Rue? No.
Would members please press the button mark present? Members in favour of the matter being put, please press the button mark yes. Members against, please press the button mark no. Members wishing to abstain, please press the button mark abstain. I'm now closing the vote. Chairman, the result of the vote is 43 votes in favour, 13 against and 1 abstention. The vote is therefore carried.
Thank you. Members, we now move to a vote on the amendment, which is as set out in your order paper from Councillor Bullen. Mrs. Rowe?
Would members please press the button mark present? Members in favour of the amendment, please press the button mark yes. Members against the amendment, please press the button mark no. Members wishing to abstain, please press the button marked abstain. I'm now closing the vote. Chairman, the result of the vote is 34 votes in favour, 20 against and 1 abstention. The amendment is therefore carried.
Thank you, Mrs. Rowe. We move back in that case to the amended substantive motion. And I think I had some people who wished to speak to this. Councillor Onsanya, I think you were first.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to make a statement from some of the comments I heard. When you're saying that people are fair-minded and that they're open and they're accepting, it's one thing when everyone looks the same and you think that everyone's accepting. But when people make comments like, we voted out, why are you still here? You realise that actually everyone's not fair-minded and everyone's not open. And sometimes you have to state the obvious because common sense isn't all that common. So sometimes you have to say to people, we're actually standing against that point of view. We collectively do not agree that it's okay to be prejudiced against a particular person just because of how they look or they sound. And that's the only comment I wish to make.
Thank you, Councillor Onsanya. Councillor Scott?
I endorse solidly what Councillor Onosanya has said, and I would just simply like to add this. Many of us have or hope to have intimate, familial or collegiate relationships with people from the European Union, and we wish that possibility to continue for all the reasons that Councillor Whitehead so eloquently put forward. I support very strongly Councillor Netzinger's motion, and I also should add that I supported it extremely strongly in both its parts, A and B. We want to retain the possibility of positive relations with Europe and with all the people from the European Union. And therefore, I support this motion very strongly, and I express my extreme disappointment that the second part thereof was voted against. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Scott. Councillor Topping?
Thank you, Chair. I was I have a great deal of sympathy with the proposal from Councillor Netzinger. I was at the event at Camborne that Councillor Taylor referred to and at the follow-up one at Duxford. And there were professional politicians there at both events, but there were some real people there too. And their concerns and their accounts of hostility were genuine and raw. And sometimes it is worth stating our values of tolerance and respect. And here is an opportunity to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Topping. Councillor Chapman.
Thank you, Chairman. Today is an anniversary. It's 100 years since my great-uncle Billy Rayner from Cambridge died on the Somme, age 17. And he fought for England as he knew it at the time. He didn't fight for a multicultural society, but he fought for the values of this country, the tolerance, the love of democracy, the things that are part of this country's cultural heritage. I think that Part A I find very distasteful, to be honest, and I find it distasteful because I object to multiculturalism, but I find it distasteful that people in this country should be told by this council that they should be reminded to be tolerant. They should be reminded to be fair. And I don't think it's the place of this council to do that. The reason that many people want to come to the UK is because of those values, those English values, not because of multiculturalism, but because of the values of fairness and tolerance. And I frankly get fed up with being told that we need to be reminded by this. We don't need to be reminded by this by any political party or anyone else at all. And if anyone thinks that I'm in any way right-wing, before many of the people on the Labour benches of this side, especially, were probably even born. I was at Grunwick fighting for anti-racist measures, standing shoulder to shoulder with Mick McGaughey. Do you remember Mick McGaughey? No, well, probably a little bit before your time.
But that was when we had a real battle
in this country against racism. And I find it very, very upsetting to see this sort of thing here, to imply that we somehow are a racist society. The UK is not a racist society.
Thank you, Councillor Chapman. Councillor Hipkin.
Chair, I find the motion as it's now left somewhat emaciated and sanctimonious. The really meaty part has been quite rightly omitted. And so what we're left with is this very high-minded statement about we must remain all the rest of it. May I say that I don't think we can say we must remain a tolerant multicultural society. I think this is increasingly an aspiration. To suggest that it is an established feature of our society is patently untrue. There are a great many instances on a daily basis which demonstrate that we are not that kind of society. Of course, I subscribe to the view that we should aspire to become such a society, but we're far from achieving it thus far. So I would object to the wording on that basis. Secondly, I dislike the use of the imperative must, as in must remain. I don't think tolerance can be achieved by edict or by protocols. I'm reminded of E.M. Forster's Passage to India, in which Fielding, a British servant of the Crown, and Aziz, a local Indian doctor, they come to the conclusion at the end of their long and complicated relationship that what they must try to do is only connect. And that is a personal matter. In the last few days, I have had occasion to smile at a cashier in a supermarket, to talk to a bus driver. I think at the back of my mind, knowing that they were clearly foreign, I'm not quite sure in what sense they were foreign, I wanted to give them a clue, a little clue, that we were friends, that they were welcome here. And I think, you know, tolerance comes as a result of these personal encounters rather than from grand statements made by public bodies of this kind. So I shall vote for this, because if I don't, the Lib Dems will issue a leaflet saying I'm a racist. Okay. So I will vote for it, but I vote for it with all of those misgivings.
Thank you, Councillor Hipkin. Councillor Walsh.
I just want to speak briefly, Mr Chair, to allay Councillor Chapman's concerns, because his grandfather and he, like me, are patriots. Should be thanked and respected for fighting for the British democratic tradition and for our society, which was multicultural before the European Union and will be multicultural after our membership of the European Union. What we've been debating for the past hour has been... things have come to a pretty pass, Mr Chair, when I think something is politically motivated. The UKIP and Lib Dem groups ought to reflect on that, Pat, it seems to me. Because what we've had is that the Liberal Democrats can go back to their electorate and say, oh, we've dealt with those primitivistic knuckle-draggers in UKIP. And UKIP can go back to their electorate and say, we've dealt with those liberal cosmopolitan elites who look down their nose at you. And the rest of us will just get on with our lives. There's a reason you are the sad, irrelevant little nonsenses. I would hope that now that we're out of Brexit, the UKIP group won't even bother to stand for elections any longer, since they don't no longer exist. But it's for exactly the same reason that the overwhelming majority of the country hold your group in such contempt. We will vote for it because it goes without saying.
Thank you very much, Councillor Walsh. Councillor Hoy.
Yeah, thank you. I don't agree with what Councillor Chapman was saying, because this Part A doesn't say what residents of Cambridgeshire must do. It doesn't say what someone must believe. It's saying us as a council supports residents. Now, I thoroughly support Part A, because residents of Cambridgeshire, whether they're from Lithuania or Libya, it doesn't matter where they're from. They are council taxpayers in Cambridgeshire. And I think there is a lot of uncertainty, because some people in society thought as soon as the referendums happened and we voted to leave, people would be going home. And some people thought, you know, no, there's free movement. And there is a lot of uncertainty, and it is uncertain times. And I really think that we must make it clear that people here are welcome at the moment. There should never be a need for racism in this country. And I think I'm really pleased to see this motion here today, and I will thoroughly support it. I couldn't support B, but I'll absolutely be supporting A, and thank you for bringing it forward.
Thank you. Councillor Reeve.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to thank the contributions to this debate so far. I think it is worth talking about, albeit I do share many of the sentiments of many members who have spoken in this room, saying that actually we shouldn't be debating this sort of thing in this chamber, because it shouldn't be necessary. I see people as people. And it's a real shame to me that we didn't further amend this amendment to reduce it just down to the first line. This council expresses its support for all residents of Cambridgeshire. I don't know why politicians and others see huge needs in labelling people, in segmenting them, in breaking them down to different groups, when John Hipkin actually got it just right. We are people living side by side, struggling through life, and that's the way it should be. That's the way our group operates, that's in UKIP, that's the way most people I know see the world. I, for one, respect those who fought hard for Remain. Some of my family did. But I have huge respect for those people I know who voted to leave the European Union. And most people I know voted to leave it because they saw it as an intolerant institution, putting up borders, little Europeans putting up borders around itself, breaking itself away and isolating itself from the rest of the world, implementing tariffs on Africa, on New Zealand. That's what the EU was all about. That's why most people I know voted against it, because they got it. They understood the real debate. And it's absolutely a crying shame to see the sentiments behind this motion today. Not the wording, I'll be voting for Part A, but to hear some of the oratory, the sentiments behind it. People who think they know best. People willing to stand up and say 17.5 million people in this country, people who voted the biggest vote that's ever happened in the history of this country, to stand up and say they just don't understand. They're racist. They're right wing. I have always lived my life to fight against extremism. I have always lived my life to fight against labelling people in the way this motion hints towards doing. Mr. Chairman, I'll be supporting this motion, but it's a real shame. And I hope that politicians, nationally and locally, drop this talking our country down, drop this march towards isolationism, and get it that the people have spoken, the Prime Minister has spoken, Brexit will happen. And to drop this idea, and I've sat with them, I've sat with Liberal Democrat politicians, Green politicians, some Labour politicians, who have told me they're going to issue lawsuits, they're going to fight the decision of the people. They're even going to create the sort of environment in society where it becomes divided, so they can try and overturn a legitimate referendum in this country. And I urge you and your colleagues to please stop this negative agenda of hatred, because that's what's dividing our communities. It's the talk of saying that there is a problem out there. It's the talk of creating a problem. I was interviewed by ITV, who came in and gave me a very long interview, grilled me on what's going on since Brexit. And when I asked them at the end of the interview, how are the victims feeling? How many have they spoke to? Who have they spoke to? They actually admitted they haven't found a single victim. But the politicians are talking so much about it that they've got to cover the story. And they ran off to go and try and find the victims that were allegedly out there. Now, Chairman, I'm not saying there isn't hatred out there. I'm not saying that because of the political debate, there's potentially more hatred today than there was a few days ago and a few weeks ago. But please don't blame the people for it. Please don't blame Brexit for it. And look more at home. Those who are shouting that there's division in this country aren't fixing the problem. They need to be acknowledging it and standing side by side with us, saying, actually, we're in this together. We're glad the boundaries have been broken so we can work more closely with the world and encourage those students, not just inside the EU, but outside of it, from coming into this country. Encouraging those businesses, not just inside the EU, but outside of it, to come to Cambridgeshire and trade. That's what Brexit means for me, and many politicians have completely missed the point, and the people will continue to speak.
Thank you, Councillor Eve. Right, I've got four more speakers and I don't intend to take any more. Councillor Ashcroft.
The thing that I've got in mind as far as this is concerned is the confusion we've got between Europe and the EU. As far as we're concerned, as the United Kingdom, we want to trade with the various countries of the Europe as we did when we joined in 1973. What we don't want is the dictatorial situation from the European Union. But at the same time, we have got strong links with the rest of the Commonwealth. So we're in a position where we can trade with Europe and with everyone else throughout the world. And other countries are now wanting to come back to us. So it isn't a case that we're against Europe. We're for Europe. It's just the dictatorial situation from Brussels of the EU we want to do away with, and that's why we want to get back to the earlier arrangements we had when we joined in 73. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Councillor Ashcroft. Councillor Shellens.
Thank you, Chair. I've listened with interest to Councillor Reeve's latest impassioned panegyric. I was struggling to try and work out what it had to do with the motion, and I'd just like to read the motion to him. It expresses its support for all residents of Cambridgeshire, whether UK nationals, EU nationals, or citizens of other countries. This country must remain a tolerant, multicultural society where many different cultural traditions add to our rich national life. And I couldn't see what most of your speech had to do with it. Second point.
And just very quickly to say that I was quite clear in what I said, that I agree with the wording of the motion, albeit I'd have liked just the first line, but I was discussing some of the oratory and what's going on behind it.
Thank you, Councillor Reeve, for that point of personal explanation. I really don't want to rerun the entire referendum again, so can we stick to whether we support the motion or not, and we can then move to a vote? Councillor Shellens, would you like to conclude?
Thank you, Chair. Secondly, if ITV were unaware of the location of victims, then they obviously have not been following their own news broadcast, because if they'd come to Huntingdon and seen the people who had vile literature posted through their doors, as was reported on ITV, they could have found them without too much trouble.
Thank you, Councillor Shellens. Councillor Jenkins, you reserved your right to speak as a seconder to this, so now is your chance, please. And if we could avoid repetition, that'd be great.
Repetition, of deviation, anything. And hesitation.
Well, okay. If you must, repetition, deviation, or hesitation. Good. Yes. You did rather hoist yourself up by your own potato.
I was just wondering where to start.
Shall we move along? Come on.
Okay.
Members.
Yep. I want to start with Paul Clapp's daughter-in-law. And I appreciate the experience that Paul Clapp brings to this room. Because, and I'll embarrass him by saying he's probably one of the most committed local councillors that we've got in this chamber. There is an issue in Fenland which we touch on every so often in this room, and we all agree to have a focus on it, and we vote, and it's a bit of a motherhood statement. It makes us feel good, and we vote it, and then we move on, and 12 months later we have another vote. Interestingly, I've got a copy of a research report from the Cambridgeshire Insight here of about 2008-2010. It refers back to 2001. It says that the 2001 census showed that just 3% of the Finland population was born outside the UK. The issue we've got in Finland is massive change. And we, the County Council, and the government and everybody else has not done the right thing to manage that change or to make it happen. So we've got into a situation where the labour market there does not function. You get people paid well below the minimum wage. You get gangmasters, you get landlords, you get employers flouting the law. If all that didn't happen, we might not even be having this debate here today. So Paul Clappey's got a point, and this council should never forget it. Now, let's come back to the motion.
Please.
A. Right. This is not about telling people to be tolerant. It's about giving the message to everybody else who feels themselves on the receiving end of intolerance that that's coming from a minority, but the rest of us are really with them and are happy for them to stay. That's most of what it is. And the rest of it, which is where Councillor Hipkins got it wrong, it's about us showing leadership. Now, he does show that leadership by smiling at the taxi driver, saying, I sympathise, etc. But we've got to lead in the way that is right to show the world how it is to live and be tolerant in this country. I don't know what he was on about, but Ashley Walsh did describe somebody as little. I wasn't sure he was looking in the mirror or not.
Moving on. Come on, members, focus.
Okay. The point has come out, the point was coming out again, and I think people are going back to B, but I'll go back to B as well.
No, you won't, Councillor Jenkins. Let's focus on A so we can move to a vote.
Right, so I will not slap everybody's wrists for straying. This is a fundamentally good motion. It is an encapsulation of what is important for us. So let's vote for it and not quibbling about the odd word here or there.
Okay? Thank you, Councillor Jenkins.
To keep the volume down.
And finally, Councillor Netzinger. Bearing in mind an awful lot has been said.
Thank you. I'm very glad to hear that Councillor Bullen is willing to support the first part of this motion, and I do think it is important that UKIP members and members across the whole chamber are seen to publicly support and welcome all those who live and work in Cambridgeshire, regardless of their country of origin. Councillor Onasanya is right. It is sometimes important to state the obvious, and there are certainly some school children in this county for whom that welcome has been less than obvious in recent weeks. And if Councillor Reeve hasn't met any of them, I'm very happy to introduce him to some. I'm very disappointed that both UKIP and the Conservatives are choosing not to fight for the Cambridgeshire economy in the way that Sadiq Khan is fighting for the London economy.
Councillor Netzinger, can you just please sum up?
Having been denied the right to speak at the
I'm afraid motion. Everybody's attention is wandering. It's been a long afternoon.
It's been a very short afternoon, Chairman.
Everybody is going to, I'm sure, support this. So let's get to the bare bones of it and
very
move on.
Very good. To return to the main motion, we have a strange contrast between the contributions of Councillor Chapman and Councillor Hipkin, who seem to object to this motion, but for quite opposite reasons. And I would like to thank Councillor Hoy for her clarity in explaining to them that we are speaking as this council. Just very finally, Peter Reeve says that this is an issue which has been entirely wound up by journalists and politicians. That is absolutely not the case. There have been a very large number of people who have been quite worried by what is happening, and I'm very glad that there will be support for this motion across the chamber.
Thank you, Councillor Netzinger. Right, we're going to move to a vote. Mrs. Rowe, if you'd be kind enough, please, to lead us through the vote on the amended motion.
Would members please press the button marked present? Members in favour of the substantive...
Councillor Hunt.
Could I have a clarification, please, Chair, that we're voting for the amended motion, which does not include B, but does include A.
You're right, Councillor Hunt.
Thank you.
Mrs. Rowe, if you'd be kind enough to continue,
Members in
please.
Favour of the substantive motion, please press the button marked yes. Members against the substantive motion, please press the button marked no. Members wishing to abstain, please press the button marked abstain.
Councillor Hunt. Have you pressed present? It might be your age, Councillor Hunt. Okay. Members, you'll all be excited to know that we are going to rerun that vote. Somebody pressed the wrong button. Right, Mrs. Rowe, please.
Would members please press the button marked present? Members in favour of the substantive motion, please press the button marked yes. Members against the substantive motion, please press the button marked no. Members wishing to abstain, please press the button marked abstain. I'm now closing the vote. Chairman, the result of the vote is 55 votes in favour, none against and one abstention. The substantive motion is therefore carried.
Thank you, Mrs. Rowe. That concludes discussion of the motion. We move on to agenda item number 8, which is oral questions, which will be dealt with in accordance with the protocol agreed by the Chairman of the Council and political group leaders in consultation with the monitoring officer, and you have a copy of that on lilac paper. Could I remind you, questions which could have been asked on other items, such as they were on the Council agenda, should not be asked as oral questions. So this is very exciting. The first one out of the box is Jeremy Corbyn, which I suppose is only to be expected. Councillor Sales, not pointing any fingers.
I'm glad you're not pointing any fingers. I'd like to ask whoever is responsible for transport. Who am I addressing? To whom am I speaking?
Ask the question and we'll
it's
decide.
It's about park and rides.
Go for it.
You know, maybe you can do your best. I'd just like to ask whether or not consideration would be given to reducing the charge for park and rides to £1 to incorporate not only the parking but also the journey into town, because I think it would demonstrate, for a limited period, so that it would demonstrate the fact that it's an effective means of getting people to leave their car behind. That's the question.
Right, thank you. Are you done? Councillor Sales, thank you. Is anybody going to answer that? I guess what the answer is. Right, members, come on. Let's try and get through these 15 questions with a minimum of fuss. Councillor Hickford.
It's not my remit, obviously, but I'll just say that as part of the city deal, there is an aspiration to reduce park and ride charges overall. I'm sure there'll be a written answer coming back to you from Councillor Bates in due course.
Thank you. Did you have anything else? No, thank you very much. Councillor Jenkins.
Thank you, Chair. This would be for Ian Bates as our man on the City Deal Executive, but he's not here. Does he have a deputy, or should I just make the question and leave it? Right.
I think what we will do is if you put your question, it'll be in the minutes and he will supply you with a written answer.
Right. Three things happening. One, we have a consultation on what you might refer to as the City Deal Phase 1 initiatives, which of course includes the Milton Road thing. Lots of stuff in there about making it easy for people to ride buses. Item two is the stats which we saw at the ENECOM last week, which showed bus patronage is going down. And item three, the City Deal Executive Board last week approved a study to understand how people make their transport decisions. I would suggest those are being done in the wrong order. And if we were to start again, we might get some better answers. So may I have a response on that?
Well, yes, Councillor Jenkins, but you haven't actually asked a question. And for the purposes of the minutes, we need a question.
Okay, does Councillor Bates agree with me that this has been done in the wrong order and that they should be looking at the results of their study before they decide what to do?
Thank you. Councillor Walsh. Councillor Giles.
Chairman, I refer to the sighting of wildebeest in St Neots, as somebody said to me the other day. But on a serious note, the grass cutting of summer amenity grass in St Neots has been abysmal this year. Huntingdonshire District Council are the contractors for cutting Cambridgeshire County Council grass and verges 3 times a year. I understand that these 3 cuts have already been carried out and we are only part way through the growing season. My question is, what financial arrangements are in place to pay for additional cuts that will inevitably be needed before the wildebeest finally take over? Seriously, ignore the last
one. I see where the connection lies now. Right, Councillor Maguire, you're able to answer my question?
Chairman, I am aware of the particular issue that Councillor Giles is referring to. It is right, Huntingdonshire District Council have done their 3 cuts a year and therefore effectively switched it off on the 1st of July. Together with the Executive Director, I met with their portfolio holder and the Managing Director, HDC, last week to discuss this. At the moment, there are no actual proposals to increase the number of cuts, but we are in discussions, Chairman. It is a broader issue than just simply the 3 cuts, but I will take up that on board. Councillor Giles says we are aware of it. It is an issue, right, particularly in Huntingdonshire, as a result of effectively the unilateral decision by HDC. But I can assure him that we are dealing with the matter.
Thank you. Councillor Giles, do you have a supplementary?
Yes, thank you for the confirmation of what we already know. My question really was, what financial arrangements are in place to pay for additional cuts?
Chairman, I thought I had actually addressed that by saying that at this particular moment there are no additional arrangements. We are in discussions with HDC as to how we can approach this.
Thank you very much. Councillor Reeve? Councillor Chapman.
Thank you, Chairman. I have a question. I'm not sure who to direct it to. It's about the Boundary Commission review.
Well, let's hear the question and then maybe I'll answer it.
Well, for quite a few weeks since I discovered the base information that was being used for my area, I've been asking questions of both Cambridgeshire Insight and of the LGBC as to where the numbers that they had for current electorate and proposed electorate had come from. And those haven't been, they haven't been able to answer those questions at the moment. There are differences of thousands of electors and thousands of houses in the county divisions. Between their reports, the declared electorate at elections, and now most recently, the district council have published their boundary review recommendations, which again have different figures, which cannot be reconciled. Now I understand that LGBC are going ahead with their recommendation to the commission within the next few days. And I'm still waiting, after many weeks, for an explanation as to where these figures came from.
Thank you, Councillor Chapman. Councillor Kent?
Yes, thank you. I'll try the best I can, but I will give you I'll come back to what we're going to do. So, my understanding is that the figures are not just based on the existing electorate, but also encompass the local plans moving forward, so the expected increase, and there are factors that they take into account for that. And that is what drives the ultimate figures. The figures have been about for an awful long while now, because we actually reopened LGBC have reopened the consultation. So it's quite late to be challenging the figures that were based at the very outset. However, it's a valid question. Where did the figures come from? What are they based on? So I think if that's the question you're asking, you deserve an answer. So if you put that question into an email to me, I will try and get the answer for you.
Thank you. Councillor Chapman, not happy with that.
Well, I'm not, because I have been challenging these figures and presumptions for quite some time, many months, and I have been seeking this information from officers, and the last response I had from an officer was about 6th of June. I'm not happy, and I just think there's no explanation. Where we have, for example, in Little Paxton, we've got 262 new homes in the forecast period. Somehow there is only There is only 200 electors in those 262 homes. There doesn't appear to be any adjustment for those that are 15 that are going to become 15 in 2014 that will become onto the electoral register. And there are gross differences between the county and district figures, as well as the declared electorate.
Thank you, Councillor Chapman. I think that Councillor Cowan has undertaken to respond to you by email, and that's probably the best we can do. Councillor Simone Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. I think this is to the chairman of ETE. Who am I talking to?
Put it anyway, we'll go in the minutes and he'll respond in writing.
So I'll say it then. As the largest town in Cambridgeshire with the fastest rate of percentage population growth, I would like to ask the chairman of the ETE committee, what is the council doing to ensure sustainability through provision of additional employment? When will St Neots, like Camborne, Alconbury and Ely, have an enterprise zone? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Whisson.
Thank you, Chair. My question is to the Chairman of the Highways and Community Infrastructure Committee, and it's also on grass cutting. Different grass cutting, although my concern is also the same concern as Councillor Giles and St Neots. But my grass cutting question is to do with the rights of way in the countryside. Two villages in my division, Abbotsley and Great Paxton, still have not had their footpaths cut for the first time, and the grass is now 3 foot tall, making access to anybody very difficult. Can the chairman tell me when the grass is likely to be cut, please?
You'll be around this weekend.
Got out this afternoon. Oh,
sorry. Right, Councillor McGuire.
The straightforward, Councillor Woodson did give me notice of the fact he was going to ask me this question. I can't give her a direct answer as to when it will be cut, but I am in discussions with, again, the executive director to talk about this. As Councillor Woodson knows, and it is to some way connected with the previous answer I gave to Councillor Giles, although we the county councils, do remain responsible for cutting the grass in the rights of way, although we make arrangements with parishes. It is not, there's no one simple answer, straightforward answer, because there are different arrangements, Chairman, with different parishes, but I will endeavour to get Councillor Wisdom an answer as soon as possible as to when they will achieve that first cut and subsequent cuts, hopefully.
Thank you. Happy with that, Councillor Wisdom, or do you have a supplementary? Okie dokie.
One of the replies by email on a report that was put in by a resident on the highways reporting to do with grass cutting, the reply she got was that the contractors had a mechanical failure, which I don't think is good enough, to be honest. And what assurance can the chairman give me for next year when the grass grows every year, can we try and prepare for it a little earlier, please?
I wasn't aware of the email or reference to the mechanical breakdown, so I can't answer that part of the question directly. But what Councillor Wisdom has done is given me the opportunity to talk about this apparently has been an exceptional year for grass growth. I guess it's something to do with the weather. But we also face exceptional years when we talk about winter. Maybe it's time this council has to start thinking about not just about winter maintenance, how we deal with the peaks and troughs, but maybe we have to start looking at summer maintenance as well to deal with some of these peaks and troughs and recognise there's going to be a higher cost in some years than there is in other years. So, Chairman, it's something I want to address with both through the committee and with colleagues in this council.
Thank you. Councillor Manning.
Thank you, Chair. I think this is the question for Councillor Bates, so I'm happy to deal with it in the same way that we have to the minutes.
Let's hear it briefly and it'll go in the minutes.
It's just that there is a rumour going around on Twitter, it was perpetuated by a certain Mr Taylor, that the Greater Cambridge City Deal has said that the decisions on the Milton Road trees, whatever they are, will be taken by officers. I don't believe that is the case. I believe it will be taken effectively when the overall scheme comes back to the Executive Board to be voted on. Could we please get clarification on that, please?
Okay, thank you. Councillor Scott. Councillor Sir Peter Brown.
Thank you, Chairman. My question is to the Leader of the Council, Councillor Count, and it relates to matters regarding the Fire Authority and the Police and Crime Commissioner and the Police and Crime Bill that is now going through Parliament. I think by the end of the year, the Police and Crime Commissioner will be making a case, a business case, for what he wants to do to get involved with the local fire service. At some point, that case has to come before this council as the primary authority. I just wonder what he can tell me as to what the arrangements might be when that business case comes forward and how we're going to consider it.
Councillor Kent.
Thank you, Sir Peter. I'm unaware of the exact process, to be fair. However, we have a constitution that lays down our relationship with all bodies. It discusses the limits for delegation, and it will follow that. All I can say is whatever involvement this council has in looking at that business case will be given the full and due diligence that as well as all of our other business is given.
Thank you. Any supplementary?
Chairman, could I just ask that case actually comes before a meeting of this council and is not delegated?
Thank you. What I'll do, Sir Peter, is I'll have a look at the where we are in the delegations regarding that, and then I'll do a written. I shall circulate to everybody a written reply, and on the basis of that, we can come to a view as to what's the best way to proceed.
Thank you, Councillor Mason.
I think this is going to be dealt with by Councillor Count. The question is. Can the leader please say if the reports into the Cambridgeshire guided busway defects currently in dispute with BAM Nuttall have been received by the council and indicate the date of publication to members and the public? The background to the question, Chairman, and I did give written notice of this yesterday, is that a discussion which we had at E&E Spokes some months ago when Bob Mangus indicated that publication of the report to members would be in early summer. Now, it is of vital importance to this council in the business planning process that any financial implications emerging from those defect reports be taken into account during the discussion for next year's budget. And can I just briefly refer to the risk register that was the corporate risk register number 26, where the result of a failure of busway bearings or movement of foundations, the significant and ongoing costs to maintain the busway to the extent that it will no longer be attractive to the operators or to passengers. In other words, the longer this report is delayed and the longer we delay decisions on how we're going to deal with it, the huge financial risk accrues to the council. So I do want to ask, when is this report going to be made public?
Thank you. Councillor Count.
Yes, thank you for advance notice of the first part of the question, but the second part I'm going to address first. So in the risk register, as you've quite correctly identified, there is a risk of what may happen as it goes through the entire risk register. Alongside that, there are mitigating factors. So, for example, where the busway has any defects at the moment, regular maintenance is carried out so that it doesn't get into that trap of actually becoming so uncomfortable that people don't use it. So I hope you'll take some reassurance on that. With regards to the report on the busway defects, the report is currently being drafted by our expert advisers, and I know that you were told it would be with us by early summer, or be with all of us by early summer. However, the reason for a delay, there is now a delay, is that report has identified some further an investigation analysis that is required. So the latest update is we expect it to be shared with us to the members and the public in the autumn.
Councillor Mason.
I do find that very unsatisfactory, Chairman, because this report was initiated last September. We were promised a six-month investigation, and meanwhile, we have the jeopardy to the council's cash flow position, which we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And the other point, and just extending that a little bit to what Councillor Count has said, the funds that have been set aside from liquidated damages to deal with these legal costs, etc., have now diminished from £10 million to £2.8 million. So I'm really a little bit wary of taking the assurance from Councillor Count. Can he now please give me an assurance that this report will be debated and that that meeting dates will be set to deal with this report, rather than just say the autumn? Can he please now schedule some dates when these reports will in fact be discussed by this council?
Thank you, Councillor Mason. Councillor Count.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for those comments and the actual figures involved. The difficulty is, this is an extremely complex piece of work, and we've employed some very competent outside people to look at it from our point of view. There are opposing viewpoints, there are legal aspects of the contract being looked at, and we could brush along the report, I suppose, but actually it's better to get a job well done and finalised than it is to rush it along. So at the moment, our advice is that we need to give this some extra time to be a full and competent report. Having said that, I take on board what you're asking for is to actually say, what does autumn mean, and let's have some meetings scheduled in. So I will take that up with officers and see what we can do about that.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Count. Councillor Downes.
Thank you, Chairman. This question is directed to the chair of the CYP committee, Councillor Whitehead. I have given her advance notice. Is Councillor Whitehead aware of the report published a few days ago by the Education Policy Institute, which has been looking in great detail at school performance in multi-academy trusts and local authorities, and which comes to this conclusion, just a very short extract. It is inevitable that people will want to draw comparisons between the performance of academies and that of schools that remain with the local authority. What this analysis shows is that the variation between local authorities is just as great as that seen between multi-academy trusts. Just as with the multi-academy trusts, there are some authorities where schools are continuing to thrive and others where results remain consistently low. And this is the important sentence. Taken in aggregate, there is no substantial or consistent evidence for multi-academy trusts being more effective than local authorities, or vice versa. Now, that is a very important piece of information for us to have in mind at this critical time facing the future of our remaining local authority primary schools, because the process of transferring from local authority to being a multi-county trust is itself a very time-consuming operation in terms of human time and in costs, and is very divisive. And I think this shows that we must warn our primary schools that are considering of this move that it will almost certainly make no difference to the performance of the children. And I hope that the chairman of the CYP is aware of this and will join me in passing that message on to the schools for which we retain responsibility.
Thank you, Councillor Downes. Councillor Whitehead.
Thank you, Chair. I wasn't aware of the report. I was out of the country last week and haven't read it. I am, however, slightly surprised by its findings, although, of course, it is taking a national average, because, of course, they do not reflect what happens in Cambridgeshire, where it's difficult. We can't make any comparison with secondary schools because they're all academies, but we are unhappy about many of them. But at primary level, although there are not many primary academies, they do less well than the majority of primary schools that have remained in the under local authority control in the maintained sector. So we would certainly not wish to encourage any of the maintained sector primary schools to move to an academy for any reason at all. And indeed, given that Keith Grimwade and his team have maintained an excellent a programme of support for maintained primary schools, which means that they are doing better than the academies, one would hope that one might be able to lobby the new education Justin Greening to ask whether in fact the reverse process can go ahead, that academies can in fact vote to return into the maintained sector. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Downes, do you have a supplementary?
Well, as you
May I just say that that is reassuring. Of course, the point about my referring to was that it was not just based upon Cambridge, but it is a national picture.
I know.
Councillors?
Yes.
Your supplementary question, Councillor Downes, and then Councillor Whitehead will no doubt respond.
Well, is to welcome her comments and to hope that we can work together constructively to put the interests of our pupils first rather than our systems.
Thank you. Councillor Whitehead?
We do indeed do that, Chair, and we will hope to continue to do so and to improve our relationship with academies to try to get them to improve the service they provide to pupils.
Jolly good. Thank you very much. And finally, for this afternoon, Councillor Hoy.
Thank you. My question is for the Leader of the Council. Will Councillor Count join me in condemning the remarks made by some Cambridge City councillors at their last meeting? I must stress I'm not talking about Labour members on this council. I've never heard such vulgar remarks from them. And I also must stress this is not about Councillor Hipkin, because he was the only councillor that came to Fenland's defence at that meeting. Will the Leader condemn the remarks made by some councillors who referred to Fenland people as badly educated racists? This smug superiority does not help work towards a cohesive county, and we must not take these remarks, and we must distance ourselves from them.
Councillor Count.
Thank you. Councillor Hoy advised me of this question earlier, but in the subsequent time I haven't had a chance to actually look at the footage of this. But I was aware of it. I was aware that it created a bit of a storm on YouTube, and it literally was labelled as, what Cambridge City think of us. So I have to say that if the words badly educated racist was used about the people of Fenland, then I absolutely support that this is an abhorrent thing, and people really need to understand what goes on in our communities a lot better than they are jumping to conclusions. I know that a lot of people have a lot of things to say about the residents of Cambridge, but I'm not going to repeat whether they're elitist or superior or very smug.
No, because we've heard quite a lot of that today already.
because whatever words are used, I think Councillor Reeve summed it up very nicely, and so did Councillor Hipkin. We're all people rubbing along together. We're just people. We're not here, there, everywhere, colours or everything. We're just people, and that's the best way we can treat each other.
Thank you, Councillor Count. Councillor Hoy, do you have a supplementary? Thank you very much. Right, members, the end is in sight. We now move on to written questions, of which I have no notice. So I am now moving to an urgent item. You will be aware the Council's Constitution permits the addition of an urgent item to an agenda if it meets the urgency criteria set out in paragraphs 3 and 4 of Part 4.4a, Urgent Decisions. I have authorised the addition to the agenda of items 9 and 10 on the grounds that failure to do so would not be in the public interest, and failure to take the decision quickly would or would likely to harm the interests of the Council and the public. So agenda item number 9 is committees, the allocation of seats and substitutes to political groups in accordance with the political balance rules, and I am moving that the allocation of seats and substitutes on committees as set out on the tabled report on green paper under item 9 be approved, and I'm going to invite the Vice Chairwoman to second.
Second.
Those in favour? Good. Thank you very much. We move to item 10, appointments to outside organisations. I propose to move as Chairman the recommendations as set out in the table. Councillor Hickford.
Chairman, when it's appropriate, could I make a verbal addition to agenda item 10?
Sure. I propose to move as Chairman the recommendations as set out in the tabled report on white paper. Can I ask the Vice Chairwoman, Councillor Smith, to second?
I'm happy to second.
Thank you. Councillor Hickford.
Thank you, Chairman. We'd like to make a verbal addition to this, and that is to appoint Councillor Bywater to replace Councillor Loynes on the Fire Authority.
All right. Thank you. I'm happy to accept that change. Addition. Yes, good. Happy with that?
Fine.
Lovely. Any comments? No. Everybody in favour? Great. That concludes the business on the agenda for today. Thank you very much for your contributions, given our very unseasonal weather, frankly. And safe journey home.